This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Welcome inside a Wednesday edition, everybody. We've got a good show for you over the next couple of hours coming your way. Brady Quinn in about 35 minutes from now. From CBSSports.com, NFL Insider, also from the NFL on Fox. We'll have Brady discuss DeShone Kizer, another rookie quarterback at Notre Dame, getting a shot with the Cleveland Browns, just like Brady did. Also, what is going on with Blake Bortles and what to expect from him this season, because it's do or die in Jacksonville for Blake, amongst other things. Also, we will go over the full menu of the Cheetos-inspired restaurant. It's a pop-up store over 3 days, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that we will be heading to later on this afternoon, Mraz and I, to do some taste testing. All foods on the menu are infused with Cheetos. That includes meatballs and soups and pies, tacos. I mean, everything. So we'll go over the menu and we'll get your thoughts on what exactly we should be eating when we head over to the Cheetos pop-up store. We'll get video of this for the upcoming season of Nomad, season number 2, my web series about eating stuff, drinking stuff, and going to see sports stuff. And then we'll also bring you pictures and social media blasts about it as well.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
Eli Manning wants to play until at least the age of 40. Eli Manning is now 36 years old, which is kind of crazy because when you think about it, there was a point in time where once you hit 35, a quarterback was on his very last legs. And now, at 36 years old, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger should be on their last breath. I mean, Joe Montana was basically done with his career by 36 years old. That was his very last gasp in Kansas City with the Chiefs. 36, 37. Once you got to that point in time, it became kind of like sad. I mean, Joe Namath with the Rams, Johnny Unitas with the Chargers. That was the years, those were the ages that quarterbacks got to and you started going, oh, this is not nice to look at anymore. 35, 36, 37. Why? Well, that's 12 or 13 years in the NFL, sometimes longer. 13 years in the NFL. That's a long, long, long time. And Peyton Manning kind of extended this window. Brett Favre extended this window. But now Tom Brady's blown the window up. He has actually put a grenade in that window, pulled the pin, and has shattered the glass. Because Tom Brady is 40 years old, and he's an MVP candidate. I'm waiting for Tom Brady to fall off the cliff, but only because I've been told it's going to happen so many times. I kind of don't believe it. I think Brady has changed everything. Tom Brady's numbers last year were fantastic. The Patriots are fantastic. And the Patriots will be fantastic again this year. If you gave me these two options, Brady falls off a cliff this year at 40 because basically every quarterback ever has never had a great season after the age of 40. That he falls off the cliff, throws as many interceptions as touchdowns this year, and the Patriots have to make a really tough decision by the end of the season to go to Jimmy Garoppolo. Or he plays five more years and at 45 years old still looks pretty good. I would opt the latter. I think the odds are more in his favor that he will look good at 45 than he would look bad at 40. Which is totally insane. Totally insane. Mraz, can you do me a favor and pull up George Blanda's numbers? What was his age, his final season? Because I grew up collecting football cards. Baseball cards and football cards were my life when I was 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 years old. And I studied those cards, and I looked at those cards, and I looked at those players, and those were the faces, those were the images that totally formed my opinions on guys that had played before I got to watch. And so as a child of the 80s, looking at cards like George Blanda, I'm like, this man looks like he might as well be 80. Just go to Pro Football Reference.
48 years old.
He was 48. Was he actually a quarterback at 48, or was he just a kicker at that point
in time? He played in his last game at Pittsburgh's Three River Stadium on January 4th, 1976, at age 48. That would have been as a kicker, so he won as a quarterback.
Yeah, I'm wondering what his last years as a quarterback were.
Okay.
Maybe 71, something like that. Maybe 43, something like that. But if you ever saw a card of George Blanda, it looked like your grandfather in a helmet. You're like, that guy simply cannot be of age to be playing. That can't be safe for him. If he gets hit, his bones will be so brittle. His bones will just turn into dust. He will just spontaneously implode. And that guy was probably, at that time that you looked at him, I mean, at 48 years old, he's going to look really old, but probably looked that way at 42, which is 2 years away from what Tom Brady is right now, who looks perfectly in shape and perfectly youthful and perfectly ready to go this season.
He would have been 39 years old his last snap at quarterback in 1966.
39 as his last snap at quarterback. So he was a kicker for his final 7 years of his career, which is still crazy that he played kicker at 48 years old in the NFL. But George Blanda, who basically is... He was the longest living quarterback, essentially. I mean, he was indestructible. Played his last game at quarterback at 39. I mean, this is just inhuman what he is doing. And so it circles us back to Eli Manning. And Eli Manning at 36 years old, again, the same age as Roethlisberger, the same age as Phillip Rivers. We're not pushing those guys out the door. Roethlisberger in the AFC title game last year, hell, if he had Martavis Bryant, might have been a completely different AFC championship game. And Phillip Rivers, who is being asked to be the core piece of the puzzle for the Chargers as they move into a new city, says, I want to play four more years, which would take him to 40. And he says, I think I can. Eli Manning hasn't missed a game in 200 starts. He hasn't missed a game. 200 straight starts when he opens up the season against the Cowboys. Who's to say he can't go to 40? It's now a totally new normal. I think Roethlisberger's got three or four more good years. Why wouldn't he? Last year he had an amazing season. Phillip Rivers, I think he's got three or four more years. Look at Drew Brees. He's nearing 40, right? I think he's now 39. He's a year younger than Brady. It's a totally new normal for quarterbacks. He's 38. And there's a reason for that. The reason is health and science has gotten better. So when George Blanda is smoking Marlboro Reds on the sideline, today Tom Brady doesn't put a white sugar in his body all season.
That's the first part. We just know way more about our bodies, way more about nutrition, way more about longevity. The second part is quarterbacks don't get beat up anymore. They just don't. It's a totally different game. I mean, it's not even the same game as the 80s when it's Elway and Marino. Look at Marino. Look at Elway. What? How old was John Elway when they won the Super Bowl in 1998? What was that final season? I think 37 years old, 38 years old. He didn't hit 40. And he couldn't play most of the season. Remember, Bubby Brister was in there for like six games of that year. John Elway couldn't finish that season or couldn't have played all 16. He was 38 years old. Think about that. Tom Brady right now is 2 years older than John Elway was in his final season. And this is not going to be Brady's final year. Guys don't get hit. You can't hit them. You're not allowed to hit them. You can't hit them high. You can't hit them low. And hell, you can barely hit them the crest of their chest. You can't hit them late. Can't hit them early. Can't hit them. In practices, there's no tackle the quarterback. Dan Fouts, smeared all the time. John Elway, Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, sat on by big, fat defensive linemen. Before that, Bradshaw, Staubach, I mean, obliterated. In the 60s, all hell. You could dive at knees. You had Deacon Jones of the 60s using his hand to slap offensive linemen in the head to give them a stinger or a mild concussion to get around them. Head slaps. And forget the 40s or 50s. Like Bobby Lane, you're basically allowed to bust his ACL on a play, and that's a legal hit. It's just a totally different thing. So quarterbacks are like kickers. They don't ever get hit. They don't get hit in practice. They don't get hit in preseason. They don't play in the preseason. They don't play. I mean, there are no starting quarterbacks playing game one of the preseason or game four. And they get one quarter or three drives. And then in the regular season, you're not allowed to hit them. It's the new normal. It's not like running backs are playing longer. It's not like defensive linemen are playing into their 40s. It's not like linebackers. I mean, you have the Ray Lewis every so often, but I mean, the guy at the end was not that effective. But one piece of the puzzle, one position plays longer than any other position for far longer than it ever was, and that's quarterback. Can't hit him. Everybody's got the same nutrition. Everybody's got the same science. But everybody else on that football field is playing a war. And the quarterbacks are directing drones. Everybody else is on the field of battle. Quarterbacks, sit back, beep, 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 beep. You know, like, if Peyton Manning didn't have spinal surgery, how long would he have played? I mean, that was the real thing that got him by the end. It was the erosion of his spine that, you know, the next fusion and the next surgery. Had he not had that, he would have been same thing as Brady. Chugging along, 41 years old, boom, boom, boom. Now, they've changed the offense as well for Brady. I mean, Brady doesn't go downfield anymore. This is not 2007 throwing 50 yards downfield to Randy Moss. They haven't needed a deep threat the last couple of years because he uses the tight ends and uses Edelman and he used Welker and Amendola, all guys underneath. There's a reason for that. Brady's arm strength is not what it was 10 years ago. But you can run an offense now that is all underneath stuff. You never get hit. You've got great science and nutrition behind you. 855-212-4CBS. So Eli and Roethlisberger and Rivers and Breeze and Brady and Rodgers. May you now count on those guys to play well into their 40s. Certainly late 30s, but yeah, into their 40s. We'll jump into your phone calls next. Also, we go down the full menu and vote. What should Mraz and I try today, eat today at the Cheetos restaurant, which is a 3-day festival of disgustingness here in New York City? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
I would definitely eat hot dogs out of a Stanley Cup.
Or, I got it. A giant hot cookie with scoops of vanilla ice cream.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Only the most important topics are debated here on the DA Show. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Remember, you can watch the show at watchda.com. I highly encourage you to go to watchda.com. It's sparkling Technicolor every single day. It's mobile friendly as well. So check it out on your phone or your tablet, or if you're on your desktop or laptop, watch the show at watchda.com. Jarvis is in Tampa, listening online at cbssportsradio.com. What's up, Jarvis?
Hey, not much, man. I'm just in my garage getting tight, man, pumping a little bit of iron.
I like to hear it.
DA, I just wanted to say this.
Yeah.
You heard the phrase. You kind of took my thunder about Brady, the longevity of it, and I do think you'll be able to play until he's like maybe 43, 44, 45. Minus the contact. And I think George Vander was able to play because there was no contact after he was like 39 years old and he went back to kicking for about 7 or 8 years. But can I say something about Brady and the way he changed his life around and what I think about the way what he's doing?
Sure. What do you got?
Brady's on a plant-based diet, and I think that's what the world is getting ready to turn to as we go on and eat less and less meat. And I just wanted to say, you've heard the phrase, D.A., herbs are for the healing of the nation.
I have not heard that phrase, no.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking that maybe you heard that phrase. Anyway, that phrase is out of the Bible, D.A. Those aren't my words. Those are words from the Bible. And actually, it's in Genesis 1, verse 28 through 31. You can look it up anytime you want. But the reason why they put it in there that herbs are for the healing of the nation is because herbs are electrical, D.A. And when you eat electrical foods, it brings electricity to the body, and that's in the Bible. And 75% of the body is water, so that means that electricity, 75% of the body is water, and when you eat electrical foods, it connects the body together. And the reason why I'm saying that, D.A., is that when you take medicine only it doesn't assimilate into the body. I kind of got lost for a second. Medicine doesn't assimilate into the body.
Okay.
That's why we haven't been able to cure a common cold, pneumonia. We can't cure no types of cancers, you know, because medicine doesn't assimilate into the body. So when you eat plants and when you eat vegetables and fruits that were put on this earth, you know, by God, it assimilates into the body, and that's when the body becomes healthy.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you, Jarvis. So let's transition from that into eating Cheetos.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I will say this. Jarvis is on a point with this. There is so many chemicals in everything we eat now that getting away from that for Tom Brady obviously is healthy if you have the discipline. I mean, I would love to have the discipline that Tom Brady does. I would love it. But, like, he eats no white sugar. There's just no way I could do that in every meal and every food, I guess, unless I was a multi-billionaire like he is or whatever they pull in between him and Giselle and have, you know, a cook or a chef on point every single minute of every single day. But, yeah, the farther you get away from all of the food that we usually eat, the better you will be. There's no doubt. And on the heels of that, Mraz and I are going to go eat disgusting foods.
Connect the body.
At the Cheeto Papa plant. I don't think there's going to be any electricity except coming out of Mraz's pants after this one.
You think Cheetos could cure pneumonia?
So the Cheetos brand has a three-day pop-up restaurant. Okay, so it's kind of an event. And this is such a modern thing. People like to go eat crazy things now because you can take a picture of this, put it on social media, and this has now become the bit, right? But for me and for you, Mraz, we love weird foods. We love crazy foods anyway. And it's perfect for this show because that's what we talk about. And it might give you some inspiration for the football food of the week, which you do every single week.
Right.
On Friday, you give our listeners a potential recipe to make when they watch football. It's usually highly unhealthy. And then for me, I do this web series called Nomad. We did season one last year. Nomad is my name spelled backwards, which a lot of people I don't think even have realized. And it's
palindrome.
Is that right? Mraz get a palindrome reference in here.
Ooh!
Wow. So anyway, this will be for an episode of season two. This should be very good. So we're going to go down there. Now, we have a half hour blocked out to us, which is pretty cool because we will be coming in as press. All of the spots for the regular people, for the civilians, were taken. I mean, they just got gobbled up. This has gotten so much press around here. So we're able to go in there and have a half hour today, which we will, I think, eat all of their prepared foods. I think that we'll be able to try everything. So, have you looked at this menu yet?
I have been glazing the menu. I spent more time looking at the menu than I did the topic list today, which might speak to how the show has come out with substance.
I would definitely say. Now, apparently, the Cheetos pop-up is, quote, real classy. That according to one reviewer, which I highly, highly doubt. But the tickets are gone. You can't get in there, except we here on the DA show, we are able to get you in to the places you're unable to get into. So this is going to be called the Spotted Cheetah Restaurant by Cheetos. And this is Ann Burrell. Is it Burrell or Burrell, like Pat Burrell?
I think it's Burrell.
Okay, so Ann Burrell, whose hair looks, as Mraz has pointed out, like the Titans flaming logo. She is going to be cooking with Chester Cheetah, I assume.
It's not easy being cheesy.
Cheetos, the cheese that goes... Crunch.
Here are the dangerously cheesy starters. Mraz, you tell me what you think sounds good here. Cheetos, crusted fried pickles, and creamy ranch.
That's a pass for me, not a pickle eater.
Okay, so they're fried pickles, I guess, with Cheetos crust on there. Cheetos grilled cheese with a tomato soup.
This was one of the most two enticing items, I thought, on the whole menu. I'm very excited. I'm a big grilled cheese person in general.
So I guess it's going to be flavored Cheeto cheese, and the sandwich has bacon, tomato, and cheesy Cheetos in it. That sounds pretty good.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Hot pressed in that panini. Oh, yeah.
I'm not a huge tomato soup guy.
No, but if you pair it properly with a grilled cheese, it works. You're not going to eat it on its own.
Cheetos meatballs. These are beef, pork, and veal meatballs. Served with hearty tomato herb sauce, but they have Cheetos sprinkled on top of the meatballs. This is a hard pass for me.
It's a little out there.
It's a hard pass.
Hard pass? I will definitely try them. Definitely. I don't know if I'm psyched for them.
Because you love meatballs.
I love meatballs and I love Cheetos, but this just seems like we're just... This doesn't seem creative. This just seems like we need to come up with an extra item.
That's right.
Oh, Cheetos World Snacks!
Dangerously cheesy.
How about fried green tomatoes? We just had these potato chips the other day. The tomatoes are breaded with crispy white cheddar Cheetos crust.
Oh, that sounds great. And how do we not after we just had the green tomato chip?
I think that actually sounds pretty good. Now, here are the main courses. Flamin' hot and white cheddar mac and Cheetos. So they're white cheddar Cheetos, spicy jalapenos and bacon in the mac and cheese.
Okay, that's what I'm confused about. Is there actually macaroni and cheese in there, or is the Cheeto serve as the noodle?
I think it's a Flamin' Hot Cheeto is the noodle.
Very suspect about that.
Oh, interesting. I thought you would go all in on that.
Well, if you're going to trick me and make it feel like mac and cheese, I need some noodle.
Okay. How about the Cheetos Crusted Chicken Milanese?
The Milanese.
Was that a sneeze?
Yes, it was.
Ew. You just can't control any of your bodily functions.
I can't. I'm getting excited here. This looks pretty good. Anything you can go fancy like that, but add Cheetos, we're good to go.
What is going on back there, Bilotti?
He's a mess.
So it's a chicken filet crusted with four cheesy flavors of Cheetos with a salad of mixed greens. Yeah, I'm sure you're looking for a
we
salad.
We need to get the greens in there.
Spicy Cheetos nachos, and these nachos are actually the Cheetos, so there's no tortilla chips. It's Cheetos in a bowl with spicy sausage ragu and creamy cheese on top, and then lettuce, tomato, jalapenos.
How and a dollop of sour cream. How good does that sound?
That sounds awful.
Everybody loves nachos, now put Cheetos in there. It sounds awful.
It sounds awful. I don't want my nachos to be my Cheetos.
It's extra cheese.
Ugh,
you
no.
dope. It's great.
No, Cheetos. Ragu, sausage ragu on Cheetos?
That You'll leave more for me then.
That doesn't. I'm sure I will. That doesn't sound good to me.
It's gross.
Chicken taco, Flamin' Hot Limon chicken tacos. So these are chicken tacos, and they have the normal stuff on top of them, but they also are topped with Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
I think that's really cool. It gives your taco an extra crunch, and it substitutes as a salsa with the spice.
It substitutes with the spice, yeah. And so let's bring in the dessert coordinator here for the sweet spot. Brad Heller's in here. Okay, so let's go over the desserts of the Cheetos desserts we'll be trying today, okay?
Okay.
Cheetos Sweetos Cheesecake. It's a cheese cheesecake with a crunchy Cheetos Sweetos crust.
You know, Mraz and I were talking about this outside. Cheesecake is fine, but when you throw Cheetos on it, you might just be ruining a good thing, right?
Yes, but I think Sweetos are a sweeter version of Cheetos. I don't think they're really cheesy, correct?
I think you're right. I think it's not a cheesy Cheeto. I think it's a sweetie Cheeto.
It's like a dessert-branded Cheeto in itself.
Okay, I mean, it's certainly worth a shot. I don't know if I'd add it to my repertoire, but...
Think about it. It's a graham cracker crust. You switch it with the Cheeto. I think we're good.
How about Cheetos Sweetos Sweet and Salty Cookies? They are cinnamon sugar Cheetos Sweetos with a salted caramel dipping sauce.
Well, you're throwing all kinds of sensations at me now. I don't know if you know what to do with it. Your taste buds kind of like explode here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
A lot going on.
I'm not really in on that one.
I love all of this.
Is there any chocolate in the mix at all?
Doesn't look
That's
like
my
like
wheelhouse.
Cinnamon, jeez, sugar, caramel.
But any chocolate in there at all?
Well, here's one. There's a white cheddar Cheetos apple crepes. So there's white cheddar Cheetos and cinnamon sugar Cheetos in a cheesy, apple-y cloud.
That could be, I don't know. There's a lot going on in that one, too, but that would be the one I gravitate towards first.
Okay.
I would rank that least for me.
As a dessert coordinator, I'm going to lean on you. So the apple crepes is where you want to go, the Cheetos apple crepes.
I mean, you could take one bite and be like, wow, there's way too much going on. You know, just an explosion for your taste buds.
I mean, how fat are you going to be after this?
Seriously.
I pack my gym clothes right to the gym I go.
Is that right?
Literally right there.
Yeah, I'm going right to the gym after this. Have to.
Suck and down this hot dog.
And I'm skipping dinner as well.
Yeah. You will not skip dinner.
I will skip dinner. I've already told Daniel, eat without me.
There's no way.
Puffiness with sodium.
We will have video of this for you today. We'll have pictures of this. So follow us on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram. And it'll be an upcoming episode of Nomad as well. And we'll obviously talk about everything that we ate tomorrow on tomorrow's show. When we come back, Brady Quinn from CBS Sports and NFL on Fox talking NFL with us in the preseason. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
I'm Jay Berman, halfway home at, excuse me.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, you can always catch full episodes of the show on iTunes. If you've ever missed any episode, any hour, any interview, you can always listen back or listen to it again if you want to. On iTunes, it's completely free. Just simply search DA and CBS. Quarterbacks are always under the spotlight, especially this time of year, going into the preseason, going into the regular season. And in Cleveland, DeShone Kizer, a quarterback rookie out of Notre Dame, has turned some heads. Now, there was a rookie quarterback out of Notre Dame that was in the same spot a couple of years ago, being Brady Quinn, a friend of the show, NFL analyst for CBSSports.com, as well as the NFL on Fox. He joins us here on the show. BQ, good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, DA. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, man, as always. So I'm thinking about you as I'm watching DeShone Kizer go through this stuff. They are, I'm guessing, going to go slow with him. And we've talked to you about the same thing that you wished, if you could go back, that there was maybe a little bit more patience or a little bit more consistency with what was thrown at you as at a young age as quarterback. What do you think is the best plan for Hugh Jackson of the Browns with Kizer?
That all depends upon the ownership and how much patience they have. If they're willing to give Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown and everyone else who's in a position of power with the Browns, if they can give them an opportunity to be patient, you know, see how the start of this year goes, whether Kizer starts or Kessler or Osweiler, see what strides they can make, and then really try to see what they have in DeShone Kizer at some point this season, but not necessarily in week one if you don't have to. But it all comes down to that. How much patience does the Browns ownership have in the coaching staff, in this process that they really signed up for a couple years ago? I think they've got a lot of young talent. It's just going to take a while before I think the Browns can make the strides that ownership's hoping to see, the fans are hoping to see, and everyone else out there.
Well, do you think it's too big a risk then to put DeShone Kizer under center in week one? I mean, even Brian Kelly said in the offseason he should have come back, that he's too raw to go right into the NFL and start.
I don't know if it's too big of a risk because of the additions that they made in the offseason, getting Kevin Zeitler and J.C. Tretter, guys like that to help, you know, shore up this offensive line. If you look at what they're able to do defensively, drafting a guy like Myles Garrett, getting Julius Peppers, players who I think will have a pretty big impact on the defense and help them improve from last year, as well as defense coordinator Greg Williams, who I think will be much more aggressive. So, you know, all those things lead me to say this. I think the Browns are probably better prepared to take a rookie quarterback now than maybe they've been in a long time, if ever, since they came back in 1999. So that would lead me to think if DeShone Kizer proves the ability throughout the preseason, the rest of training camp, to be the starting quarterback, if he continues to progress like he has, I don't see as much risk in starting him in week one, because I think you have to see what you have in him before you contemplate going back into the draft or back into free agency to find a quarterback. You got to find out what you have on your roster first.
Brady Quinn joins us, NFL analyst, looking at this year's preseason group of quarterbacks right now. So let's say the Bears or the Browns or the Rams came to you and said, hey, we just need one huge piece of advice. We've got a young quarterback here that we don't quite know about yet, whether it's Trubisky or Goff, maybe the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. And they say, Brady, you've gone through this. What's the biggest thing we need to remember as we develop these QBs? What would that be for you?
Not to make too much of the great performances in the training camp. I wouldn't make too much of that. And as all of a sudden a sign that they're ready. I think you look at the entire group of guys that you named, whether it's Mahomes or Trubisky or Kizer, all of them played well in their rookie debuts. And I think you're starting to hear that hype. DeShone Watson as well. You're starting to hear that hype about him. And the problem is, they did what you expected them to do. They're playing against guys who largely are not going to be on the opening day regular season rosters. So don't read too much into that. You know, keep watching, keep, you know, taking everything in you can to see what they're going to be able to do come the regular season. I think we tend to over-exaggerate these performances early on, and it gives us expectations that are way higher than we should have, you know, for any rookie quarterback. I think it's really hard for them to come in and do what Dak Prescott did a year ago.
Yeah, that's really interesting because we talked about DeShone Watson last week on the show. He looked really good when he came in. He looked really comfortable. Mitch Trubisky moved the football really well and looked much better than Mike Glennon. We talked about that on the show. Was that a mistake? Is it a mistake to laud these guys when they do look good the preseason?
I think to some degree, it's like during the regular season, right? Whenever you win a game, you never play as good as you think. Whenever you lose a game, you never play as bad as you think. You know, the eye in the sky doesn't lie, and that's a lot of times, you know, feelings that quarterbacks have after a game, after they go back and watch the film and review it. And I think when you go back through and watch the film, it was a very simplified scheme for all the quarterbacks. They did exactly what they should have done. Were there some missed throws? Yes. Or missed opportunities or misreads? Yes. There's a few in there, but it was a very simplified offense. Things will continue to get, you know, more difficult as the preseason wears on, and I think they're going to be tested more and more. And that's the other thing I think we have to keep in mind is, you know, the game planning that comes in involved when you have a regular season, when you have different opponents each week, is drastically different than what we're seeing in preseason. We're seeing a base offense that they want to go out there and see them execute the operations and operate everything that they're being asked to do at a high level. Once they get into the regular season, there's going to be an entirely different set of plays that you have on a week-to-week basis, in particular on critical situations like third down and red zone. So because of that, it makes it even harder to be able to execute when you don't have the experience of running those reps with the wide receivers and tight ends and running backs that, you know, other more veteran players have. So that chemistry is going to take a while, and it gets harder on a week-to-week basis in the NFL because for a rookie, a lot of times these are the first times they're running these plays, and they're going to have to do it a little bit in practice and then in a real live game scenario. So those are the difficulties, and I think because of that, we read a little bit too much into the preseason.
Interesting. Brady Quinn joining us, CBSSports.com NFL analyst, NFL on Fox analyst, right before the start of the next week of preseason games, obviously. When it comes to Ezekiel Elliott, the NFL is obviously really, really sensitive about domestic violence. They don't want to have the same look as what happened with Ray Rice, them going too soft and then more evidence comes out or what have you. But Jerry Jones feels like they overreached with this suspension and thus they're now going to appeal this. Ezekiel Elliott's going to appeal this. What do you think about the NFL's decision to suspend Zeke 6 games?
Well, I think Jerry Jones should have maybe complained about this then when they set this policy after everything that happened with Ray Rice back in, what was it, 2014 or around that time? Because this is what they did in reaction to what took place with Ray Rice. When he only got a 2-game suspension, after this, they came back and said, no, any sort of domestic violence allegation or situation is going to result in a 6-game suspension, if not potentially more. But that was kind of the standard that they set. Now, on a case-by-case basis, that hasn't necessarily been consistent. I think that's part of the frustration. And in this case, because there wasn't necessarily any legal action taking place as far as, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, going to court, having to handle, you know, go through all this, he wasn't convicted of anything. I think because of that, people are looking at saying it's too harsh of a penalty. However, I can tell you this from just, you know, coming back from our retreat with Fox for the NFL, Roger Goodell came out and spoke to us, and he talked about, you know, the fact that they feel really good about the information they have. And I think because of everything that's taken place in the past, they've really done a good job of beefing up their security, beefing up their ability to be able to find information, find all the facts, and make a wise decision, because they've gone down this road now where they are going to be able to penalize players for their, you know, conduct off the field. And that's a whole nother discussion whether you think they should have the ability to do so or not, but they do. And because of this, I think they've actually improved a lot of their research and the intelligence that they gather to figure out, you know, what's happening or what's occurred between a player and base, you know, whoever else out there that's being affected by this. So I think they actually feel pretty confident about the information that they have and the decision that they made. And that's why, you know, he filed for his appeal. It's going to take new information. So maybe he was withholding something, maybe something else will come out, but it will take new information in order for them to be able to reduce, you know, the 6-game suspension that he's currently going to have to serve.
It's interesting. The Saints just today have fired some of their doctors after it was discovered that one of their cornerbacks, who was diagnosed with just a bone bruise or just a bruise, had actually a fracture in his fibula. Apparently, this has been a problem with the Saints doctors, and this is why they're frustrated now at this point in time. When you were in the NFL, did you ever have a situation where the team doctor said one thing and you said, that's wrong. I know it's wrong. I know my body. I know this is not going, I know this is not what you think it's going on, but I know better about that. You ever have that?
I don't know if I had any specific examples of something like that. I think I was frustrated sometimes with wanting to get a second opinion and the team, you know, trying to press you into making a decision of having surgery or not having a surgery. And a lot of that's been kind of sorted out through the negotiations with the most recent CBA. But I think it's always been an issue for players is wanting to be able to find more information and equip themselves with as much information as possible about certain injuries. And, you know, and basically go through all that. I know I had a back injury when I was with the St. Louis Rams, and, you know, at that point, you know, they wanted to try to go the epidural route. And I, you know, I tried the best I could for, you know, a month to try to take epidurals and had complications from that with my back. And in the end, probably should have gotten surgery as soon as possible. And maybe that would have helped my recovery process. And who knows how that would have affected some of the complications that I had, you know, afterwards with my back and with nerve symptoms and all that. So, you know, that's maybe one example where, again, I'm not trying to put on the team because I was a part of that decision. But, you know, in the end, I think the team always wants to do what's in the best interest of the team and the player as well. But, you know, depending on how expendable you are, I don't know sometimes, you know, how much that factors in as far as what they want to do in the best interest of the team.
Brady Quinn, NFL analyst, CBSSports.com and Fox as well. You're also leading the charge of the Third and Goal Foundation, which makes homes handicap accessible for wounded veterans. I want you to talk about that as well so that all of our listeners have the latest on the information on that. How's it been going?
It's been going great. You know, as always, we continue to do projects each year. We try to, you know, be flexible and be able to adapt to the needs of our veterans. So one of the different initiatives that we've really taken on is trying to help, you know, equip them and inform them and educate them as they transition out of, you know, active service to, you know, go continue their education by getting their undergraduate or graduate degree. So we've partnered with the University of Notre Dame to be able to put on a curriculum during the summers where, you know, veterans can apply for it. They can come back and receive a curriculum that's going to help them with that transitioning back into civilian life and becoming a student and then really taking that next step in their life and whatever they want to become. So we've got a bunch of different initiatives right now as the needs of our veterans have tried to change. You know, we try to change our objectives, but you can find all the information at 3ng.com or on our Twitter feed, which is 3rd_goal. we'll tweet from time to time about the different things that we have going on. So I'll always appreciate being able to talk about it, DA.
Yep, we love that cause around here. We think it's an amazing cause. I know I personally do as well. So check all out that information either online or on social media. Follow Brady on Instagram as well, at Brady Quinn. Brady, it's always good to catch up, buddy. I love the football's back. We'll talk to you again, man.
Sounds good, DA. Thanks for having me on.
You too. Brady Quinn joining us here on the DA Show. I love that point about Jerry Jones. Yeah, he's all bothered, hot and bothered right now because his guy got whacked. His guy got suspended. But he was part of the consultation. He was part of the decision-making that after the Ray Rice situation, this is the baseline. It's six games now. And we've got to overreach on suspensions. Now, is it fuzzy math when it comes to the NFL? Yeah, because last year Josh Brown gets one game. And now this year Ezekiel Elliott gets six. But the owners have given Roger Goodell all of that power to do this and have set the baseline at six games, which is exactly what Ezekiel Elliott got. By the way, it looks like Mraz was woefully incorrect on palindrome. Rob tweets, DA, please tell Chubbo that's not what a palindrome is. It's a word, phrase, or sequence that reads the same backwards as forwards. Rob tweets, LOL at Mraz, a palindrome is something that's spelled the same backwards and forwards, like noon or dad. Ha ha, he's an idiot. Yeah, I hope it didn't take that to convince you of that, but yes, he's a functioning moron. When we come back, is there a Zeke Elliott sex tape?
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.